You know, people ask me, what is intentional living? We sort of intuitively understand the word intentional is directional, it's important, it's the way we're to live, but what does it really mean? Hey, Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living. I thought today what I would do is share with you from our Intentional Living Archives the program that we did on this topic of what is intentional living. I kind of call it like your 101 courses in college, just sort of the basics. And the outline you're going to hear, I think, will be encouraging. To get us started, let me just bring it into focus. When we live intentionally in the moments of our life, because life comes down to moments, more than days or weeks or even a lifetime, moments make up, when you add them together, what a lifetime is about. And when you and I experience God intentionally in the moment, in other words, when you're standing in front of your spouse and you got to make a decision how you're going to respond that moment is going to make a difference in the quality of your marriage. When you're standing in front of that chocolate chip cookie that you know you shouldn't be eating maybe today, hello, Randy. You know, what you do in that moment is just one moment that adds to or subtracts from how intentional you're going to be with your health. That's true with your finances, with your kids, with your work and everything. It's not about perfection. It's about the power of living in the moment. So intentional living is experiencing God's intentions for your life in the moments as you understand what they are. That's why we're here, to help encourage you and to share with you what is God's intention for these important areas. And boy, we'd love to have you come be a part of the show. You can still participate today. Share your comments at 888-888-1717. Let's get started with Mike on the line from Michigan. Welcome to the program, Mike. What do you want to be intentional about, my friend?
My question is about dating somebody who is not a Christian. I always hear the Bible reference of being unequally yoked and wanted to find out if that is an absolute or if there are times where a Christian can date a non-Christian with the intent of eventually marrying.
Yeah. Loopholes. Can I find biblical loophole? I hear your heart, Mike. No, I don't think there's any loophole there. And by the way, God's, you know, sometimes I think we misunderstand God's intention. God's intention is not to be a killjoy. He didn't sit in heaven and say, hey, let's write a Bible and give it to people to just make them miserable. You know, his word, his life, his purpose, his intention, if you please, for us is he loves us so much. He knows that when we get unequally yoked, in other words, when we get into a relationship in business or in marriage with people who don't share our same values, our same beliefs, we're gonna have nothing but problems. They're gonna have a problem. We're gonna have a problem. And so the answer is no. That, you know, there's no loophole there. That's God's intention. Bottom line. Now, if you are married to a non-Christian, it doesn't say, oh, hey, now I got my excuse to get out of here. God's very clear about that as well, which is another call, I'm sure, another topic. But at the end of the day, if we follow God's intention, it makes a difference. Now, we talk about intentional living. There are simple four steps that aren't so simple to live every day. And the first of these, Mike, is to make a declaration of my one thing or a declaration of my intention. And I believe for you, Mike, and for you, listener, wherever you are today, whatever you're facing, you might be broke financially and you're struggling. You might be broke in your marriage and you're struggling. You might be struggling in your business. If you make a determination or a declaration of one thing to say before God today, I'm going to figure out what pleases him and then do it. I mean, I'm going to figure out what pleases him. What does the Bible teach? What does wisdom say? What are others who are following Christ learning? And then do that one thing. We call it a declaration of an intention. And it makes a difference. And people share with us their declarations of intention. In fact, Rita is on the line from Michigan, I think, to talk a little bit about a declaration that apparently she's made in her life. Welcome to the program. Go right ahead, Rita.
One thing that I would like to do intentionally for the rest of the year and start over next year, too, would be to be more intentional with our finances, like be in charge of them instead of them in charge of us. And we're paying all of our bills, but we're not saving enough. We're tithing, but we're still not saving enough. And just try to listen more to where God would lead us to do with it and know how to do that.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, Rita, I applaud you because that's where it begins. I've been around long enough, and I have a few gray hairs. Count them. Sally's laughing over there. There's more than a few, right? to attest to the fact that it all begins when we get mad enough in life. In fact, I have a whole lesson called You Gotta Get Mad, which stands for MAD, right? First of all, changing your mind, changing your attitude, and changing your decisions. And intentional living really gets to a place where we say, you know, I'm mad enough. And I want something different. I want something better. I'm sick and tired of being broke. I'm sick and tired of having a marriage that's not working. I'm sick and tired of not knowing why I'm here and what God's purpose is for my life. And we've got to get to a place where we get mad enough, and I say that in a positive way, where we say, I want something better. I want to know what God's intention is. I want to know the why of my life. And it begins with a declaration. And nothing good begins in your life until you make a declaration of intention. You made a declaration of intention the day you got married. You declared your one thing to your spouse. The founders of this country made a declaration of independence. They made a declaration of their one thing, that we would be a free nation, and then lived it out. Make the declaration, then spend the rest of your life managing that intention. That's really what intentional living is all about. It's a process, and it's making the decision, then acting on it. Hey, let me ask you, you know, when you think about your life, as an example, have you ever been thinking about you want to be a better example to your kids? You know, as a parent, you really want to do a good job. You know, the days you go to bed some nights and you think, man, I just wasn't the kind of parent I want to be. Well, Christian music artist Jeremy Camp is going to be here in about 3 minutes to tell you what he's doing to be more intentional as a dad. So stay tuned.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Hello, this comment is about living intentionally to break addiction. Whether it's a pornography addiction, addiction to food, smoking, the only way to break an addiction is to intentionally make a choice to not do that bad thing. Each and every time you're tempted to do it, you have to intentionally decide, I will not do that, I'll make a good choice. Even if there's like certain levels of your addiction, like whether it's just checking a girl out or actually viewing pornography, you have to intentionally make the decision to not even do the smallest thing, because I found that it leads into the bigger and bigger and bigger things, to escalate until you end up looking at pornography and looking at them in the worst way. And so this is an encouragement to anyone out there who struggles with addiction. Just intentionally make the small choices every day.
Step by step, you lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning,
the purpose of life. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. I'm smiling because we were just talking about 60 seconds to explain the whole purpose of life. I think I can do it. Because the Bible says to us in the final words of Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, what's the conclusion of the whole matter? He says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I think I did it in less than 60 seconds. Intentionally run the decisions that you're making, the actions you're about to take, the thoughts that you're thinking through this question. Does what I'm doing now, what I'm thinking now, what I'm going to do next, glorify God? And when we do those things, you know what? That's intentional living. And I actually did it in less than 60 seconds.
For more information and inspiration, go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Today we're unpacking, what does it mean to be intentional? What is intentional living? What's this process? The first step is to declare your intention. There's three others. I'm going to get to those in just a moment. You ever trying to be a better example to your kids? Well, we talked with Jeremy Camp, a Christian recording artist. You hear him often on the radio. That very question, how is he going to be a better dad with his kids? Jeremy, go ahead.
I think living with God has been convicting me of is just making sure that, you know, I'm really, because we do this, we read and pray with the girls, but I want to be more intentional about, you know, taking them through a book. Like, hey, let's go through Proverbs, you know, let's, you know, really letting them see that that is the full focus of our life. And then taking them, we have, there's a place where we're going to volunteer with the girls in our community to restore the house of special needs, and they donate things and they go to different places and give things away. And we just want to be a part of helping and having the girls be a part of helping in the community as well. And just being more intentional about that, because I think it just shows that, hey, not only just your words, but your actions as well.
I still need. Jeremy Camp is being intentional. Join him and others. Join people. Join us on this journey of being intentional. Not perfect. Jeremy would be the first to tell you he's not perfect. Life's not perfect. But to be intentional makes a difference. Starts at home. You can come and join us, 888-888-1717. You have a question about marriage, parenting, whatever it is you're facing. The intentional living process works. It begins with a declaration. What's something, one thing that you could declare today that would make a difference in your life? Give us a call, 888-888-1717, like Tirza did from New Mexico. Hi, Tirza. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. What's your question?
My question is how I can be more intentional in helping my 95-year-old friend get in the home health aid.
In other words, you have a friend who's 95 and still living alone?
And lives alone, yes.
And you're concerned. You're seeing that, is it a lady friend?
Yes, I am concerned. We've been friends for about 6 years. I am actually on my way to her house right now. I try to go once a week.
Now, where's the family? Where's the family in all this?
So she does have two sons and a daughter. Her sons live out of town. Her daughter lives in town. Her daughter's very busy. And the daughter does, you know, come and buy her groceries. She checks on her each evening, you know, by phone. Comes once a week to buy her groceries. She'll take her to doctor's appointments. I take her to doctor appointments, hair appointments, nail appointments. I mean, I try to help out wherever I can.
So the doctor knows, her doctor knows she's living alone?
Yes. Okay. And he told her that state law required she has help.
Okay, so the doctor's concerned.
She basically lives on her Social Security.
Okay. Is the doctor contacted the children?
The daughter was there with her at her appointment.
Okay. And so you're concerned that there's just no action being taken?
Correct.
And this has been just recent. This is the deterioration or the need is becoming...
Yeah, this is all recent stuff. Like I said, I've been... So 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago, I quit work. My mother had dementia. I quit work, which is where I met my friend. And I quit work to take care of my mother. My mother just recently passed away in May. And so... I just started kind of putting that time towards Knit Deli for him.
Well, I think tears of what I hear too is you're a caregiver and you're a problem solver. And
I was a daughter.
Yeah,
I was a daughter, and now I'm a friend.
Yeah, and I don't mean that critically. It's just a reality that you were caring for mom, and now shifting some of that love that you have and concern for this friend. And every family, not every, but many families that go through this, not knowing how to handle mom or dads are getting older, and there's a transition, and sometimes it's too soon, and sometimes, unfortunately, it gets to be too late before the help comes along. I think it's important that the doctor is aware. That's good, seeing doctor appointments. The daughter's going to the appointment. That's good. Obviously, she has a son and daughter, so I'm assuming that they're the caregivers. Somewhere there's documentation that somebody's going to be stepping up. You can only do so far as a friend. You can only go so far as a friend, Tirza. I would encourage you to maybe get with a daughter and just ask, how can I help? What do you guys need? This is obviously son and daughter's responsibility, but as a friend, what can I do to help? Otherwise, what's likely to happen is you're going to take on responsibility that you don't have the either the legal or the right to do, potentially, or it's taking the kids' responsibilities from them and the responsibility they have to step up to help mom. And you don't know what's going on behind the scenes either. There may be some things going on, things being done, and so on. So as we think about living intentionally, you've already had that. You've already declared your intention to want to be a good friend and helper. Now I think the question is, what do I do? What are my habits? What are the steps that I take? And I think you're doing some of the right things. You're taking her to the doctor. You're offering to help. But I would turn my attention away from mom and turn to the daughter and say to her, listen, I'm here. I'm available. I know this is your responsibility, but how can I help? And keep the ball clearly in the court of the daughter. And of course, if the doctor is now aware that there needs to be some help, then clearly keeping that elevated so the doctor and the daughter are working this through. I think that's how you can be a good friend. Now, in situations, there's always times where people need to have someone from the outside to come in and do evaluation, the state and so on, to make sure that people are being taken care of. But turning to the daughter and the doctor, I think, is a good first step to develop that habit to be a good friend, to be supportive. But remember, as she's deteriorating, part of being a friend is helping the daughter in the process. We're talking intentional living today and the process of being intentional. Thank you for your call, Tirza. You're welcome to join us. If you have a question, maybe something you're challenged with and you want to make a declaration of intention or looking for some habits, that's the second step in this process, developing the right kind of habits, habits that will honor Christ, habits that will help you get out of financial problems or physical challenges or marital issues. Developing the right kind of habits make a big difference. It's part of the four steps in intentional living. Give us a call, 888-888-1717 is the telephone number. And let me see here. Let's go to Susan. Susan's on the line in Arizona. Welcome to the program. Go right ahead.
I just thought I would share my technique about controlling paper in your home, which is when I go to the mailbox, I then stop at the recycling bin before I go in the house. And I only keep things that I really need, you know, like the bills. And that has cut down considerably on my paper clutter in my home.
Mm. Well, you know, you led me beautifully into a third step for intentional living, which is declutter. We all have too much junk in our lives. In fact, I just worked on a schedule. I was telling my wife Don on our walk this morning, I've worked up a new schedule for me. Hopefully I can stick with it. I'm going to be spending at least 2 hours every week on my schedule just decluttering my life. And it's going to be, for me, it's going to start with a lot of just the paper stuff, because I hang on to stuff. We were joking about that this morning, because my wife, she doesn't hang on to anything. When she's done with it, it's gone, and I hang on to it. And she was saying, why do you hang on to some of these things? And I was joking with her. I said, you know, someday, 5 generations from now, if God tarries, they'll have a record of me. And they won't with you, because you threw everything away. She wasn't impressed. So starting this process of decluttering our lives, not only of paper, but sometimes the clutter in our lives are relationships. Maybe you have people in your life who are not good for you. Sometimes relationships have an expiration date. I mean, you look at expiration date of the food in your refrigerators because it spoils. And sometimes relationships, come on now, sometimes relationships are not good for you. And they expire, and you need to deal with some of these relationships. Or it could be that you have something that needs to be decluttered in your finances, putting new things in process, new ways of handling your finances, putting a budget together. We at Intentional Living talk about 10-10-80. We keep it really simple. Wouldn't it be a powerful thing when you think about your money to declutter your life, to tithe, to set aside 10%, to be able to save 10%? And if you're younger, starting at 10%, if you're older, maybe at 15%, but setting that aside every month, do it automatically. You never touch it. You don't see it. It goes into savings. It's set aside to help for a retirement. It helps for paying down debt or whatever. And learning to live on 75 or 70 or 80% and just intentionally do it. That simple decision of decluttering your life, of overspending, and learning to live on 70 or 80% of what comes in over an extended period of time will make you a wealthy person. It really will. Do the math. I mean, you can get online, Google a calculator, and run the numbers. What would 10% of your income be over the next 20, 30, 40 years if it were set aside and growing in value? It's an intentional decision, see, and making that declaration, then following it. Can we go to Kathy? Kathy's on the line in Texas. Welcome to the program. How can I help you be more intentional, Kathy?
Hello. My question for you today about taking care of aging parents is, if you've had a very controlling parent, but you know that the time is coming soon that they need to be taken care of more, how do you balance that with, you know, it's just kind of a hard balance of showing love but also being firm?
Yeah. Well, I think that kind of fits in with what we heard a little bit ago with a friend who's aging and needs help. And what happens is the Bible teaches us to honor our father and mother. And we have this idea that as kids, we're to honor them and support them and we're still a child. But there's a point where there's a role reversal. And when the roles reverse and all of a sudden this parent who's been controlling and maybe difficult really needs some help, and you know there's some aging issues coming, there is a point where you have to be able to confront your parents lovingly with the reality of what's coming down the pike. And I think it begins not only what's in their own best interest, but being honest with them about the stress it places on you when there's not a plan. So many of the stress points in life come not as a result of what you're facing today, but what could happen in the future because we don't have a plan. If you can have a plan that mom has sat down and shared with you and you've talked about, what's the plan? Do you want to go into a care home? Are you going to live with us? Maybe that's not going to be workable. What about your finances? How are we going to handle those things? Having a plan, putting it in print, agreeing to it together gives some confidence to mom and it'd be helpful to you as well. So, hey, Kathy, again, being intentional, the clutter right now, we're talking about decluttering our lives. What the clutter you're facing right now is you're cluttered with the uncertainty of what the future is going to be. And there's something about a level of certainty that gives you more peace and freedom in your life. Okay, thank you for your call. Just make sure you get mom, set her down, and deal with it. It's going to be painful in the short run, helpful in the long run. 888-888-1717 is our number. Six things I want to share very briefly with you. Six things that you can do that will turn a decision into a habit. Number one, if you don't want to do it, if you don't want to change, or you don't have to change, you're not going to change. There's not a thing I can say, your spouse can say, anybody can say, if you don't want to change. Change is a decision, and there's two ways that we change. We either have strong enough desire that we want to change, or we have no choice to change. I've talked to many men in particular who have been challenged to change in their relationship with their spouse, and they've made no change until they had no choice but to change or lose their family. I've talked to people who've not changed in dealing with their health until they face the diagnosis that says either change or die. And this is true in every area of our life. If we don't want to change or we don't have to change, we're not going to change. Wouldn't it be easy if we could just push a button and it would all change? But, you know, we live in a fallen world and we have to deal with that every day. And as followers of Christ, we're not immune from the pull and the drag and the friction of life when it comes to making the kind of changes that we know are healthy for us. Some of them are just really practical things, and many of them certainly connect to our spiritual life as well. But at the end of the day, you either want to or you have to. It's either an aha moment or an oh-no moment in life. And the lesson this month is really talking about how do we change? I mean, how do we develop the kind of change that can become a habit in our life that can make a difference? And As followers of Christ, when I was thinking about it, we as a community should be leading the charge, really, when it comes to making decisions on how we're going to handle our finances. The Bible talks about that. How we're going to relate, the kind of habits we're going to have in relationships. That's scriptural. How we're going to deal with our workplace, the habits we form in terms of relating with other people. That's in scripture as well. Each of these, really, this whole discussion on habits, each of the points in each of the areas, the essential areas of your life where you can develop the kind of habits that make a difference, ultimately should be for God's glory. And I've been around long enough to know that when we do the things, when we act in ways that ultimately are obedience to what God wants for us, as a loving father, there's a trickle down almost flowing down over our lives in positive ways that maybe we don't even imagine at the beginning. And so members, it's the teaching is at our member site, exclusive site on our website. For those of you who are so faithful and appreciate so much your ongoing monthly support for the Intentional Living Ministry with Intentional Life Media. We have our own budget, and we don't borrow to operate. We rely every day on the support of so many folks, including you. So come and join us, theintentionallife.com, or call 888-888-1717.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I called you about 6 years ago complaining and crying that my son was making grades that did not indicate his true ability. And you stopped me in the middle of my question and said, "And why are you calling me?" And you basically told me he has to live with the consequences and I needed to leave him alone. And I just wanted to let you know he is graduating as the valedictorian of his class. He has amassed college scholarships in excess of $100,000. He couldn't be doing better. He is amazing because I step back and let him do it.
Good for you, Mom. That's why we love talking to you all. Just to maybe ask a question that hasn't been asked before to encourage you to think intentionally. This idea of being intentional really comes back to the idea that God does have an intention for our kids, for us, for parents, for our finances, for our marriage, our work, our health, and they're good, according to Scripture, good intentions for us. And then it's when we live in the moments that we find real, real success for living. Well, hey, listen, you know, today we've been talking about Intentional Living 101. Love to have you come and participate at 888-888-1717. And then come and join us next time on Intentional Living.